Lake Effect brings you conversations about what's happening in Milwaukee and the people, places, and organizations that shape our community. This is Lake Effect Spotlight from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
In light of the Trump administration's attempts to reshape federal agencies outside of its authority, there's been an ongoing conversation about how the branches of government are meant to interact at the federal level. And there's been a lot of confusion and misinformation on who truly has power of different aspects of our government. But even at the state level, these questions can be confusing for adults and children alike. The new edition of Voice and Votes, How Democracy Works in Wisconsin, is written for kids who are first learning about how our state government works. But it's a good lesson for all of us who are interested in understanding our government and how we can enact change. The book was published by the Wisconsin Historical Society, where Abby Pfister is the director of PK-12 education. She joins me now along with Jonathan Kasparik, a professor of history at UW-Milwaukee at Waukesha, who worked on the book. Abby, Jonathan, thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you.
What are some common misconceptions that you hear when people are talking about the government and how it works here in Wisconsin?
One of the misconceptions is that government is this very abstract, faraway thing that people don't really interact with. And really what we want to show in this book is that there are city governments, there are county governments, and there are lots of ways for people to be involved and to have an impact on government and really make democracy work.
I agree completely. And I think to add on to that, when we think about teaching government and what do those structures look like and all the formal things that go beyond that and behind that, I really love this book because it's also about the people and how the systems, the government, and the people work together. And that civics really is, in so many ways, helping our learners see that it is the people that makes this happen and it is the people that are interacting with this and not just simply learning how things work.
As you say, this is a book for young readers, for people who are probably still in school. How do you make sure this is information that is both factual, but also pretty clear and concise, because it can be difficult to do that.
It was a challenge trying to explain these ideas at a level that elementary students could understand. I hope that we explain things clearly, and really what I sort of imagine are elementary students going with their parents to vote, or going to school board meetings, or going to tribal government meetings, and really seeing those people who are part of the government and who are working on our behalf to make society function.
It's those examples that really bring these sometimes complicated concepts to life, and I think in a way that our younger learners can really wrap their heads around. And one of the things I love about this second edition of the book, but really just generally with this book, is that it tells these functions through the stories of people, both those who are working in government in different elected positions or otherwise, but also people who are not. And to show that this is done through practice, it really illustrates these examples, because otherwise it can become really difficult, especially at those younger elementary ages, to understand these systems of rules and structures, because well, it's hard for me to wrap my head around it sometimes, too. And so the stories really help bring it to life, in my opinion.
Also, I really like the historical aspect of this. I hope that students find some inspiration in some of these stories, too, of people in the 19th century that thought government wasn't working the way it should be and tried to do something about it. People like Ezekiel Gillespie and others who really did make a big impact on the state.
Now, you mentioned Ezekiel Gillespie. What are some of the other names that you think of when you look at the book that really make these concepts easier to understand and make them more human?
I think that those historical figures that we often know so well, Ezekiel Gillespie, the suffragists, the La Follettes, those are really great touch points because they're common names. We hear them frequently in the curriculum and in classrooms. But for me, it's the stories of people who weren't known as well that I find make this book powerful. And in particular, the way that each chapter wraps up with a vignette about young people. To me, that's what makes it really come through. And I love that, right? We have to know the people who are well known, but we have to know the other people too, or recognize that there were other people as part of the movement or simply part of it and didn't make it into the textbooks. So I think that's my actual favorite part of this book. It's the vignettes of young people and what they're doing and how that's very much part of our civic life and our government experiences.
One of the things you've mentioned and that really sticks out in this book is, of course, the different layers of government here in Wisconsin, but especially ones that people might know a bit less about. We have, of course, municipal governments, county governments, but also tribal governments. Can you tell us about these different layers of the government here in Wisconsin and how they connect?
The idea that government is this monolithic, abstract thing is just not the case. And it's striking in this book the way it describes how different parts of our lives are impacted by different levels of government. Municipal governments do some of the most mundane, but some of the most important things in our life. They're the government that collects our garbage every week. They're the government that keeps our streets plowed in the winter. State government does a lot for education, and the national government, of course, is very familiar. Tribal governments are important as well, and the idea that there are these sovereign entities for people within their borders is a really important story that is often overlooked when we think about government within the state.
Looking at some of these core kind of civics lessons, we're having a national dialogue right now about, what different branches of government are meant to do. And there's a lot of confusion, I think, especially at the national level, but also at the state level, of what each of these branches is really responsible for. How do you break that down in this book? And how do you break that down for younger people who are really trying to learn their government so they can become more involved?
So I guess the best way to think about it is every branch is responsible to the people. They have an obligation to make sure that the government functions and that the government is fair. So if we start with the legislative branch, we elect people to make decisions about society, that we think that there should be laws about these, and we as citizens have the responsibility, of course, of obeying the laws. The legislative branch of government has the responsibility to make sure that they are passing laws that are sensible, that actually address a concern or a problem of the people, and that don't impose undue burdens on people. The executive branch would be the mayor of a city, the county executive of a county, the governor, or the president has a responsibility to carry out those laws. He has the responsibility of making sure that those laws are enforced fairly. The judicial branch, I think, may be the hardest part of government to really understand. That's the branch that makes the final decisions over disputes. If citizens disagree about how a law is applied or whether a law is fair, the judges have a responsibility to be experts. They are the ones with legal education, lots of experience resolving disputes and understanding the laws. They're the ones that get to say, this is the correct interpretation of this law is fair, or they get to say it's not fair for these reasons.
Now, one chapter you have is all about how the government works for the people of Wisconsin and the ways that they can be involved in these processes. What are some examples of ways that everyday people who are not elected to positions, because of course, people who work in the government are also everyday people, like you and I, but people who are not elected and in places of power in the government, what are some examples of how they can become involved in the processes of our government?
Well, at the most basic level, it's paying attention. One of the key things that we have in this country to make sure that the government is responsible to us and to democracy is we have to pay attention. So we have a free press that can report on government activity. We have the right to petition our government. So if we perceive something that is incorrect, or if we see locally something as basic as an intersection that is dangerous, and we petition the city council to do something about that to solve this problem, that's a good way to get involved and make sure that we're exercising those rights to make sure that government remains responsible to us, the people.
There are ways to participate. The book mentions that 16-year-olds can often work as poll workers. There are ways to engage with local officials. There are lots of ways to get involved. But I really appreciate what Jonathan's saying because sometimes it really is just about the everyday, paying attention, engaging each other in conversation and listening to others, really reflecting on what might have occurred or they might have heard during the day. And of course, I think just also wanting to know our history, understanding the events and things that have happened before us that have brought us to where we are in the present, that really matters as we think about forming a sense of civic participation and trying to understand and engage with others. Really, those everyday actions, just paying attention and being curious and inquisitive, I think are some of the foundational aspects of this, especially for elementary age kids.
For sure. Well, Abby, Jonathan, thank you both so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you so much.
Abby Pfister is the director of PK-12 education at the Wisconsin Historical Society. Jonathan Kasparik is a professor of history at UW-Milwaukee at Waukesha. They both worked on the latest edition of Voices and Votes, How Democracy Works in Wisconsin.
You can find more interviews like this one by visiting wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And while you're there, subscribe to the Lake Effect Spotlight podcast.